You are listening to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast with Dr. Craig Gilbert. Prepare to be enlightened, entertained, and moved to grow as you hear practical advice on building and enriching the experience of worship at your church. And now, Dr. Craig Gilbert.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast. Our podcast is here to help you with any and all aspects of church planning and development, but with a special emphasis on congregational worship. I'm your host, Dr. Craig Gilbert, founder and lead consultant of Purposed Heart Ministries, and I am happy to be with you each week as we talk about important issues that so many churches must face every day. Hey, this week, as you know, if you listened to last week's podcast, we were supposed to continue our two-part series on worship planning for worship leaders and pastors with a podcast on flow and continuity. But I hope it's okay with you. As I've developed the podcast for this week, I really want to do a second half on what we started last week, which was modernizing worship services regardless of style. Last week, I went through several items with you, very specific items when it came to modernizing a worship service, no matter what the style was. We talked about what does it mean to have a modern service, relationships, technology, communication. We talked about a lot of different things. But I wanted to, as I prayed over the podcast this week and I prayed over what I wanted to talk to you about, God just kept giving me something new or a continuation of the modernization idea. And so if it's okay with you, we're going to do modernization of the worship service part two. And then we'll continue with flow and continuity in another podcast, but I really felt the need to express something a little deeper when it comes to modernizing worship service. Last week, we talked about a few things, but we primarily looked at some practical applications. This week, I really want you to, I hope that you'll journey with me as we look at something that I feel like is really the driving factor that keeps us from modernizing our worship services, the thing that holds us back, and that is clinging to the past. We hold on to the past like nothing else, because the past is safe. We have success with the past. We know how the past has been effective. We can show it in our attendance. We can show it in the responses that we've received, emails, phone calls, letters, the positive reinforcement that we've gotten from what we've done in the past. And so we'll tend to hold on to the past because there's a proven track record there that keeps us sometimes from really looking at what it means to modernize our worship service. So I hope that as we go through this presentation that I have for you, this time of talking to you, that it will challenge you to prayerfully reconsider some of the things that you do, not because there's anything wrong with them, but what is the root? What is the hold that they have on your worship service? See, what I want to tell you is that focusing only on what God did in the past, when you do that, you're in great danger of missing what God can do and is doing in the present and what God will do in the future. Remember, God said, that God has always been, God always is, and God always will be. And when we plan worship without a look toward not only an honest assessment of what's happening right now, but a faith and a foundational trust that God is going to continue to do the same things in the future, if not even more things, we're in danger of stagnating our worship, not allowing our worship to grow, not allowing our worship to develop. Nostalgia and sentimentality in worship are very challenging. If we hold on too strongly to a memory, too strongly to the way things should be, because that's the way they used to be and always have been. If we hold on too strongly to our favorite songs, because those are the songs we know people like to sing, we hold on too strongly to the way we think about how things sound and how they should sound, then we could possibly dismantle all that God is attempting to do among us now. We can lose sight of that. I'm forever bouncing back and forth in my mind thinking we're not doing worship right because we're either not Pentecostal enough, or we're not intentionally liturgical enough, or we're not contemporary enough, or we're not enough of this, or we're not enough of that. And as a worship leader, as a worship planner, I can second guess and triple guess and drive myself into worship planning stagnation, because I'm seeing all the ways that we're not, so I just stay rooted in what we are instead of looking at what we could be, and really not even what we are, but what we were. That's probably more accurate. I'm looking and rooted in what we were and not even looking at what we are. Who are we right now? I know from my experience in serving in churches that if I've been there for very long, the church grows, the church changes. If you're there for a few years, it's not the church that you started with. It's going to change. People are going to leave. New people are coming in. It'll hold you. It'll paralyze you. I suppose I should start a list of all the ghosts of worship past I'm trying to live up to. And what that does is it causes the worship past to cripple you as you are developing the worship of now, much less the worship of the future. I want to read this to you. It's something that I wrote, and I want to read it to you, and I'm just telling you now that I'm reading. No matter how powerful, how healing, how transcendent, how transforming, how educational, or how correct, quote unquote, your past was, don't turn that into a false god. That this is what has happened in so many churches. The past in worship becomes a false god. We start to worship and rely on what God did in the past, and not look at what God is doing now, nor have the faith for what God is doing in the future. And whether you're dealing with the past of your denomination's worship tradition, whether it's high church liturgical or low church evangelical or freeform Pentecostal, it doesn't matter. If you're dealing with intimately personal memories of when God met you in the past and God brought you to salvation and to new life, and you allow yourself to be in a place of, you have to allow yourself to be in a place of openness today. I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to change worship or wanted to do something new and have a congregation member come back, oh, if only we could do what we used to do. Oh, worship was so much better back in the day. I don't like this because it's not what I grew up with. I don't like that because it's not what I grew up with. Those are all valid feelings, and they're completely understandable. The problem is they don't acknowledge that God still communicates. God still speaks. God is speaking with new voices and in new generations and in new ways. And when we lock things down, even if we're a traditional church, quote unquote, that doesn't mean that you can't. It doesn't mean that you can't try something new in a traditional way or in a liturgical way. And just because you are a free form, make it up as you go along church, that doesn't mean you're being modern. It doesn't mean you're being new and being fresh. Structure helps organize a story. And so what if instead of just kind of making things up as you go along, you actually start to tell structured stories on a Sunday morning? That's not necessarily a bad thing. It's this idea that if we move a piece, if we try something new, somehow we are losing our connection with the past, or we're losing our connection with who we are. It is, to me, it just completely negates the fact that God still speaks. You know, the word of life is forever speaking over God's people, proclaiming that all things are new. What I hope is that we would be willing to let go of the newness we received in our past in order to receive the newness of today. Remember that everything that you sing now, everything that you do now in worship, used to be brand new, even if it was in the past. You know, now that it's old and it's locked into the worship memory of your church, there was a time when that thing was brand new. And so we'll often pass over something new, pass over something updated, in order to hold on to something old as if that's somehow more valid. But yet remember that every song that you sing was new at some point. And every song that you sing now, if you're singing nothing but new songs, are eventually going to be old. And there are more new songs coming. You know, I talk to you now as a worship and music leader. You know, I step into the tensions of my own past each week when I lead a congregation in song. And as I lead them, I know that I'm stepping into their tensions and their expectations of the way worship and songs that we sing should be. And where were those formed? They're formed in their past. They're formed in their past experiences. And so their expectations of what should be are a result of what they have done and not necessarily a result of what actually is or will be. Now, I realize that I try so often in these podcasts to be very practical, to give you some applicable, positive, forward-moving actions that you can do and place. And so I want to do that now, and I'm going to give you a few, and I hope that you'll find value in these. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to pray over the worship services that you make each week and ask God, how are you speaking today in this worship service, Lord? Where is your voice for now and for the future in this service? Is the voice of now and future only in the sermon? And then everything else in the worship service is rooted in the past and locked in the past, not rooted, because it's good to be rooted, but is it just locked into the past? Or is it what we, are we honoring what God is doing now? And that doesn't just mean that you have to sing all brand new songs. It doesn't mean you can't sing something older, but are you doing it in new ways? Are you doing it in fresh ways? Are you revitalizing the lyrics? So let's talk about songs for a second. Let's say you're singing an older hymn. What if instead of just putting the hymn out there, you introduce it? Give the story of the hymn. Where did this hymn come from? What was the writer thinking when he or she wrote the hymn? What do the lyrics mean? Maybe give a little lyric study or something. Something that allows the people to connect with a hymn in a new way, even though it's an old song. We want to bring them up to a new voice, a new way of understanding. I'll never forget "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," which everybody sings, even modern churches and churches that sing contemporary. They sing "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," and it never fails that an explanation of what an Ebenezer is almost always in order. We sing "Here I Raise Mine Ebenezer," and we don't even know what an Ebenezer is. And so maybe that's your cue for this week: is take a song that you've been singing for a long time, and offer it to your congregation in a new way. Invite them into the lyric in a new way. Maybe it is in a prayer time. Maybe it is in a call to worship if you're a liturgical church. Maybe it's in how you greet one another. You do it in a way that opens people's eyes into a new way to greet one another and to pass peace to each other. Maybe a new reason more than just saying hello and good morning. Maybe it's how you greet the church. I know that at one church I loved coming out and doing the opening greeting and saying good morning church. And so many people would assume that I was talking to just them. And so one Sunday I did a graphic on the screen that showed a capital C church. And I talked about the fact that when I called out good morning to them as the seated church in that room, that I also wanted to raise an awareness that there was a church, a larger church, that they're the larger body of Christ that they're a part of. They're just one part of the global church, the universal church, and expand their understanding of church. That's modernizing a worship service. That's bringing a worship service into new communication so that you're not just, you know, however people understand it. It is, you're allowing them to engage in worship with God in a new way and acknowledge the fact that God still speaks to people. God still leads. God is present, and we want God to be part of our worship service. So, you know, when you're looking at, I know in one of the congregations that I served, we had such a wide variety of people, so many people in that church from so many different backgrounds. There was no way to keep up with all of the different denominations that were represented or worship traditions that were represented in the room. And as a result, you know, I had to look at how we were talking to each other in a lot of different ways. I had to know my congregation, and that's what I encourage you to know your congregation. You know, in that particular church, these were formerly Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Methodists, Assemblies of God, Vineyard, Apostolic Christian, Presbyterian, Baptist, Episcopalian. All of those people were represented in this congregation. And so learning to speak in a modern way meant learning to communicate with people who came from a variety of backgrounds. The days of what we call denominationalism, where if you serve in the United Methodist Church, 90% of the people are in United Methodist background. Those days are gone. That's the new modern church says, no, we're going where we find God, where we're able to engage with other people in relationship. That's what we talked about last week. So what does that mean for a modern worship service? Well, it means that if you're rooted in the United Methodist past and you're not speaking to people in new voices, you're not speaking to everybody in your congregation because that's not their past. That's not the past they know. So this whole podcast, this whole travel is for you to understand that raising up the past as some kind of hallmark that must be held onto and must be honored at all times by adhering to exactly what it's always been is not going to give you a modern worship service. Now, this isn't change for change's sake. This is change to acknowledge that God speaks in new and exciting ways all the time. So I hope that you got something from this. I hope that it challenges you to look at your worship services in a new way. We will come back to the flow and continuity of worship planning in another series, because we're set now, starting next week, to look at a four-part series on hospitality as we're counting down the weeks to Easter. We've already looked at how to prepare the building. Now let's talk about how to prepare the people and how to prepare to greet people and welcome people into God's presence. So starting next week, four-part series on hospitality, we're going to talk about vehicle to vehicle, parking lot to parking lot. What does it mean for a visitor from the time they arrive till the time they leave? How can we make sure that they have every opportunity to find Christ, see God, and love others and be loved by others as they interact with us on our campuses? So join me next week as we start to talk about hospitality as we lead up to that key holiday coming up of Easter, ready to welcome visitors. So until then, I pray that you are blessed by what you hear on the podcast, blessed by how you live and serve Christ, and most of all, that you'll come back and join us again. Don't forget to go to PurposedHeartMinistries.com, take advantage of the ways that you have to contact me, and take a look at what we have to offer. We would love to come and be a part of the ministry at your church, helping you to worship God in new ways in your worship services. So until then, thanks a lot for being with us, and we'll talk to you next time. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast with Dr. Craig Gilbert. Want more from Craig? Be sure to join us online at purposedheartministries.com. We look forward to having you join us again next week.